God's surprising plan for a long, strong life. Exodus 20, verse 12, Deuteronomy 5, 16, Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, all refer to the same commandment. I'm just going to read those passages. Exodus 20, 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Deuteronomy 5, 16, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. That's Moses. Paul, Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Quote, verse 2, honor your father and mother. Now he's quoting Exodus. And he says, this is Paul's comment, this is the first commandment with a promise, and it's true. All the others that we've studied so far just contain the bald command. This one gives a command, and then there's a promise attached to it. And Paul says, this is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you, and he quotes it word for word, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land. Okay, I've got about 29 minutes. Point number one, this is the first commandment dealing with human relationships under the rule of God. I think that's relatively obvious, but let me just point it out. The flow of thought in the commandments that we've studied goes something like this. No gods before me. So the ultimate place of God in the life. He comes before all other considerations. He comes before all other loyalties. He comes before all other relationships. It doesn't start with husband and wife and children because you love God first. Why should I love God more than I love my wife? I should love God more than I love my wife for this reason. The more I love God, the better I will love my wife. She's the beneficiary of me putting God first. Just as you should love your spouse more than your children. And the reason for that is exactly the same. Your children benefit most when you love your spouse more. It's like when you're on the airplane. And the stewardess is standing there. I guess they're flight attendants now. Steward, that's kind of sexist, isn't it? The flight attendant is standing there, and if it's an old plane that doesn't do the video yet, and they show you all the stuff about the oxygen coming down and how to do up the seat belt. And if you don't know how to do up the seat belt by now, you should just get off the plane. But and then they'll say, if the oxygen mask comes down, and here's what they will say every time. People don't listen. They're reading the paper by then. The oxygen mask comes down, they'll say, put it on your face first before you try and help your children. Why do they say that? Well, it's for the good of the children. Because if you black out, there's no one to help them. They'll perish. It's the same principle. Put God first. Put God first. That's the first command. The second command, worship me on my terms, not yours. So that means following the priorities and the dictates of Scripture, regardless of how they're viewed and assessed by the world around you. The third command, never allow your relationship with me to become trite or empty in your words and actions, taking the Lord's name in vain. I quoted Elton Trueblood, the worst blasphemy isn't profanity, but lip service. So we all face this constant battle to keep faith alive, sincere, genuine and passionate. The fourth commandment, remember. This is the first commandment that starts with remember. The Sabbath day, to keep it holy. You will never keep any of the first three commandments just by your own resolve. Keep a day separate. Keep it wholly devoted to me. And so I learn that my relationship with God is personal, but it's never individual. It's corporate. It must be maintained corporately with others in worship. Okay, after these first four commands, you'll notice this shift in direction from the worship of God, devotion to God, to areas of behavior as it gets lived out in this world. And the first mention is family. Honor your father and your mother. Just on the side, please note this. This isn't in your notes, but just note that in God's creative order and mandate, a family has a definition. And it is composed of a father and a mother and children. It's not two dads, not two moms. Father, a mother, children. Family will never be. We can call it what we want. We can change all sorts of laws with enough people voting. That's true. On the earthly side of things, we can do whatever we want. But a family, biblically, will never be the uniting of two dads or two moms. Now, a family may certainly lose a father or mother for many reasons and still remain a family. But a family can never be founded on another foundation. Let me just say, I'm sorry if this hurts your feelings, but you may love your dog or your cat very much, but it bugs me when Christians talk about their pet as being part of the family. They're not part of the family. They're your pet. Pastor Don, why do you make a big deal of that? Because Christians don't realize how they drift. They might stand and argue till they're blue in the face against evolution. And they don't realize that what they do with their thinking exactly reverses it. They start to, like the world erases the distinction between all the species. The father, the mother, the children are creatures made in the image of God. Fido, spot, whatever, is not. Don't talk about them as part of your family. It just belittles this commandment. So for genuine faith to survive, it must last from one generation to the next. And for that transition to be successful, this commandment is relevant. This commandment teaches that we need more than the church. We need the role played by the home. And what we learn from the flow of these commandments is this, that the church can preach its message till the cows come home, but if children don't see those same truths reinforced in the home, no permanent good will be accomplished. That's because before the schools have the children, the homes have them. Before the churches have the children, the homes have them. Before the government can reach the children, the homes have them. So just think of how this first command is related to the first four. Where do children first learn to have no other gods but God? Well, Dad, I'm sorry, they'll get that from you. Mom, they'll get that from you. They'll see what you put first, not what you talk about. They'll watch how you keep the Lord's Day. Sure they will. Where do children first learn the danger of idolatry? Of all the things that can creep into our affections and take first place from God? Well, they'll learn that from you. Where do they first learn that God's name is sacred and holy and that anything done in His name must be done with sincerity and devotion, joy, but seriousness mixed in with it? Where do children first learn that God's day isn't public domain for personal pleasure? And there's only one answer to those questions. They learn those things first in the home. Which is why, when God first starts talking about people, He starts talking about families. I'm terribly afraid that we, even in the church, are on the verge of throwing some things away that God has made absolutely foundational for a good life. I know, you have to approach the subject with sensitivity to different cultural needs, but you can't farm this job out to anybody else. The government isn't the caretaker of the home. The government isn't responsible for your children. Families belong to God, and He has entrusted them to parents. It just won't work any other way. The world's mind has dented the church far more than any of us realizes it. So come to terms with this sentence. Come to terms with this sentence. To hear and obey what the Word of God is saying in the middle of our culture, in ways that it hasn't happened yet, but is going to begin in very visible, costly ways to separate Christians from the lifestyle of those around them. Christians are going to have to, because the culture keeps shifting in an increasingly godless direction, Christians will have to become more radical in the eyes of that culture just to maintain their present state of holiness, not to gain any ground, just to hold on to it. We will be round pegs in square holes increasingly. And you need to be ready for that. Skip over some stuff in your notes. Point number two. Children are to take seriously their duty to honor and obey their parents. I say in the notes that before the command actually reaches children's ears, it needs to be heard by parents. That's because long before the child can read or walk or understand, the parent has the task of teaching him or her to obey. Mom and Dad, however you do it, and I know there are a million different schools on discipline, however you do it, when your children are little, under your roof, under your authority, make your word count. Don't constantly yell at them like there's going to be consequences and never have any consequences come about, because you will teach your children to listen to you the way they will one day listen to God. And the answer is, they won't. Mom and Dad, however you do it, make your word count. How many times do I have to tell you to stop running around? And they just keep running around. And there's nothing. Did you hear me? I said, and what you're doing is teaching them day after day after day that what you said means nothing. And the problem with that isn't just that you might have bratty kids. That's not the issue. The issue is, that's how they're going to hear this one day. That's how they're going to hear this one day. That's how they're going to listen to their teacher one day. That's how they're going to listen to the police one day. If you love your children, make them listen to you. Eventually, of course, they're not under your parental authority at all. Though even then, there's some application of this command. Certainly our kids, they reach a point where obedience to parents no longer applies. I get that. They so quickly become adults with children of their own. But even for a lot of youth, maybe young people here right now, please notice the two verbs that Paul uses in those verses in Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then honor your father and mother. Obey refers to the outward action. Obedience, while you're under their authority. God isn't, though, just interested in the outward act. Honor them. Honor them in your heart. My mom, I go to see my mom just about every week. A lot of you, well, not a lot of you, probably fewer and fewer all the time, but a lot of you will remember my mom. And most of the time when I go to see her, she doesn't know who I am. And I sit and I talk to her. And she has all sorts of ideas and things she says. Well, it'd be foolish for me to obey her right now. But I like to think I still honor her. You only get one mom. And so you show honor, you show respect. And I'm not sure the Holy Spirit isn't more than just a little bugged when youth, teens get together with friends and wherever you are, and the way you talk about your parents. And I want to tell you, you need to listen to me. That's not something separate from your walk with Jesus. That's a big part of your walk with Jesus. And you'll pay a price for that in your own personal life somewhere down the road if you don't honor your parents. They aren't always right. They do make mistakes. And our omnipotent, omniscient God, knowing that full well, says, but you honor them. Honor them. Tell them that you love them and you respect them. Why? Well, that it may go well with you. It's for your benefit. It's an important command and an important concept. It goes deeper than just obedience. Honor carries the idea of respect, appreciation for all they've done, the recognition that while you are under their authority, they are out for your best interest, you don't have to always agree. I don't talk to very many kids that agree with their parents about allowance and curfews. You won't always agree, but you respect their intentions. You respect them for what they're trying to do as God leads them. Don't fight their directions. Don't complain against their instructions. Don't slander them when you're with their friends. That's what honor means. And the promise is, if you honor, listen to me, if you honor them, God will honor you. You can't get a better deal than that. Do you want God to honor you? Then you give honor to your parents. Listen, if you're young, the tendency is to see the spiritual part of life as being established sort of outside. It's what you get at youth or at youth retreats or at camp or wherever. And it's because we're so prone to think that way that Paul says you obey and honor your parents in the Lord. It's a part of your relationship with Jesus. It helps to make you what you are as a child of God. It determines how genuinely Christian you are at the core of your being. 3. Paul says this is the first command that comes with a promise attached. Look at it, Ephesians 6, 2 and 3. Honor your father and mother. That's the first commandment with promise, he says. And then he gives you the promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. I know the way, I've read the way people twist that promise all out of shape. Does that mean that no obedient child from a godly home will ever be hit by a car? No, it doesn't mean that. Does it mean they will never ever get sick? No, it doesn't mean that. Does it mean that no child will grow up and rebel against God as an adult? I don't know that you can guarantee that. But just because some people abuse the promise doesn't mean the rest of us should ignore it. Here's what I think is the thrust of that promise. I'm not being insulting to those who are younger at all when I say this, because it's just something that it's a part that all of us go through in life. But young people especially face the challenge of learning to live under the authority of someone else. How many times have you had this conversation and someone that's about 17 or 18 comes and just in a bit of a fit of rage says, I'm telling you right now, boy, when I get out of here, I'm sick of all these rules and I'm going to live life my way on my terms with nobody bossing me around. And you just want to say, oh, you poor deluded human being. I say especially the young have that problem because you have to have the accumulated years of adulthood to learn the hard lesson that no one, absolutely no one, ever lives life not under the authority of other people. That dream that you're pursuing, that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, talk to someone here who's 65 and they'll tell you, you never get there. Until you're in a box at the front of some church or at Roadhouse and Rose, you will constantly be under the authority of other people. Everybody's going to tell you what to do, and it's going to happen forever. All of you who are older, am I not telling the truth here? Absolutely. That doesn't go away. That doesn't go away. That kind of freedom is a dream that only the very young can have. Those who have lived longer know there will never be any shortage of authorities. There's people who are going to come and take a big chunk of your paycheck. You don't even know who they are, and they take your money. And I got a secret for you. The more you make, the more they take. You can't do anything about it. There's always going to be people telling you how fast you can drive your car, where you can park your car, what laws you have to keep, how you have to fill out this form, when you have to get your license, when you have to renew your license, when you have to pay your visa, what happens when you don't pay your visa. Rules, 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 they pile up and they never go away. Deal with it. And And where that first gets learned, in an environment that is safe, loving, but firm, that lesson gets learned as you learn to obey and honor your parents. It keeps you from pursuing a dream world the rest of your life. Learn early to obey your parents so that life will go well with you. Don't sell your soul early. Don't short-circuit your own future. There are countless voices undermining the rightful claim of your parents in your life. It happens, I'm sorry, it happens in school classrooms. It happens with your friends and peers. It's the common spirit of the age on every sitcom on television. And the Word of God still comes to every young person and says, don't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Don't sell yourself short. Honor your father and mother. Your future is at stake. Four. We're almost done. The commandment comes with a strong message to parents. Nothing is clearer than this. God's intention in this command to prepare children for obedience to Him by the training of obedience to parents. I said that earlier. God wants to train people in obedience to Him as they learn at a very early age to obey their parents. And for that to come to fruition, now we're talking to parents. For that to come to fruition, parents must obey God the way they want their children to obey them. Parents must obey God the way they want their children to obey them. So, children learn the joy and freedom that comes from obeying God when obeying their parents is seen to be part of the same pattern and substance as following God. I get asked a lot if children are to obey their parents when parents push them away from the clear path of Christ. And there's just nothing sadder than those times when children are forced to choose between honoring God and honoring their parents. And it does sometimes happen. So the clear call to every person's life is to honor God first. Jesus said on several occasions, he said once that he came and the division that would appear right in families where husband would be turned against wife and parents against children. Sometimes following Christ is a very, very, very costly thing. I remember a couple, they used to come to this church. You would know them if I said the name. But they were raised in a very strict Jewish upbringing. And when Howard came and gave his heart to the Lord, his parents never spoke to him from that day forward. I just can't imagine that. But certainly, especially in Christian homes, parents should live all their lives in such a way that obedience to them will only further and quicken obedience to God. So nothing in any area of my personal life or example as a parent should in any way contradict the will and way of Jesus in my children's lives. Especially for small children who can't sort out all the issues for themselves. Following Dad should have the look and feel of following Jesus, because Dad follows Jesus. And when Dad tells the kids not to be afraid to stand out at school, not to be afraid to be seen as different, that comes from a person who at work isn't afraid himself, in a much bigger crowd, in a much more financially successful crowd, but the same principle, that dad or that mom says, I stand out there like a sore thumb and I follow Jesus no matter what. And this little boy or girl over here, maybe not when they're two or three, but later on, they'll see that. They'll know if you're just blowing smoke or if you're telling them the truth, that there's a cost to following Jesus. So, children, not just small children, remember that in God's plan, One of the fastest and surest ways to get the best out of life is to honor mom and honor dad. They aren't perfect, but they are under assignment from God to lead your life in the best way they know how. And as you honor them, God will honor you. It's as basic as it gets. And everyone said this Sunday night,